A week today, we'll be keeping the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But before that is a special memorial that is commanded by God. When we think of the word memorial, especially at this time of the year, we tend to think of the Passover. But the one I'd like to discuss today comes after the Passover, the night to be much observed. We don't normally get to have too many points in a sermonette, but there are five little questions relating to the special night that I hope to answer. What is it? Who is it for? When is it to be kept? How is it to be kept? And lastly, why is it so important that it is kept? So first, what is it and who is it for? Turn please to Exodus 12, and we'll read verse 42. In Exodus 12, verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the eternal for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. The word for observed here, for those that like numbers, is Strong's number 8107, Shemor, which means an observance or to be much observed. This word is only used twice in the Bible, both times in this verse. Further meaning can be gained from it, however, when we look at its root. It is derived from the word shomar, which is Strong's number 8104. This means to hedge about, to protect, to keep, to preserve or save. This is something to cherish and maintain, much more than just a tradition. This is reiterated in the last part of the verse, verse 42, along with clearly stating who should keep it. Is it to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations? The term "in their generations" is a single word, which is 1755, which could be translated as evermore. It is the same word used just a few verses before in verse 14, where talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread itself, where it reads in Exodus 12, verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it, a feast to the eternal throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." It is clear that this was intended to be kept as an ongoing memorial for all Israel, including spiritual Israel today. So this brings us to when. When is it to be kept? Well, as with most things, there are always some who get the wrong end of the stick, so to speak. There are many, including the Jews, who keep the Passover on the wrong day, essentially merging what should be the night to be much observed with the Old Testament Passover, despite scripture being quite specific. In the booklet "Pagan Holidays or God's Holidays," which Mr. Armstrong wrote, "Now some believe that they killed the lamb between noon and sunset on the 14th, about 3 p.m., near the end of the day, ate it that night, the 15th, claiming that is when the Passover was eaten, and when we should take it today, and then went on out of Egypt that same night." But this theory will not hold water in view of all these scriptures and the following, and those following through Exodus 12. The Israelites were not permitted to leave their houses that night after eating the lamb. They remained in their own houses in the land of Goshen until daylight. Then they went to their Egyptian neighbors and borrowed from them and spoiled them. There were millions of them. It took time to notify them. It took time to do all this. It could not have been done after midnight when Pharaoh rose up, and still have gotten out of Egypt that same night. The Israelites were in their own houses in Goshen all that night. A couple of years ago, Mr. Andrew Munro gave a very detailed sermonette clearly showing how the Passover was to be killed at the start of the night, of the night portion of the 14th, and then eaten that night, and then the spoiling of the Egyptians and the preparation to leave would have taken place during the daylight portion of the 14th, and then they set off after nightfall on the 15th, as per the biblical accounts. So in summary, the night to be much observed is at the very start of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. after sunset on the 15th. It is not the Old Testament Passover. That was kept the night before. So how is it to be kept? Well, there's very little in the Bible about exactly how this night should be kept, apart from that which we read earlier in Exodus 12, which clearly states that it was to be kept by all Israel throughout the generations. Guidelines for the keeping of the night much observed, as published in the Pastor General's reports throughout the late 70s and early 80s, included the following. The night to be much observed should be held in family groups, in private homes. Be sure that the widows and other single people are included in the dinner and fellowship with one or more families so that no one is left out of the fine feast and fellowship on this night, which pictures Israel's thankfulness and rejoicing in coming out of Egypt and our deliverance from sin. The evening itself, I'm sure, will be a fine feast, and from a physical point of view, very much one of the highlights of the year. But it is more than just a really nice meal with good fellowship. It is a memorial of how God rescued his people from the slavery of sin, and also a time of great rejoicing for our deliverance from the slavery of sin. It is astounding that the same God being who rescued his people in such dramatic fashion would later humble himself to become a human being so he could become the perfect, sinless Passover sacrifice that would pay the penalty for the sins of all mankind. That is something to be truly thankful for and to rejoice about. But one question remains, and it's possibly the most important. Why is it so important that we keep it? Back in Exodus 12, it just says, it is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. So it's worthwhile taking a few moments to see just how the Eternal brought his people out of the land of Egypt. If you keep a marker in Exodus 12, as we'll be back there in a minute, but if you turn over a few pages to Numbers 33, we see a little bit more about how it was done. In Numbers 33, and we'll read verse 3. And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. The Israelites might have left by night, but they didn't creep out while nobody was looking. They left with a high hand as far as the Egyptians were concerned. So let's go back to Exodus 12 and read a little bit more of the lead up to them leaving Egypt. First, in verses 1 to 20, God tells Moses about the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread that was to follow it. And then starting in verse 21, Moses passes on what he has been told to the elders. In verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of this house until the morning. For the Eternal will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Eternal will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons for ever. And it shall come to pass, when you be come to the land which the Eternal will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Eternal's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Eternal had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Notice in verse 27, it was the Eternal who was going to smite the Egyptians and deliver the people. All the people had to do was obey. Carry on in verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Eternal smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne until the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Eternal as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." God had previously hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he wouldn't let the people go. But now he was a broken man. And in verse 33, the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Eternal went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Moses then carries on to explain the ordinance of the Passover. And the Eternal said unto Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn, he must become part of Israel and be circumcised." And then down in verse 50, "Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Eternal commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Eternal did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." God wanted his people to remember that it was him that rescued them. All they had to do was obey and follow his lead. But sadly, history shows that they soon forgot. They failed to much remember. Within a few short days, they were already complaining that far from being rescued, they had been dragged into the wilderness to be slaughtered. Throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Jude, God's servants were inspired to record this same message, that it was God who brought his people out of the land of Egypt. It is obviously a very important point, but without the Holy Spirit, ancient Israel just couldn't grasp the enormity of what God had just done for them in rescuing them from the bondage in Egypt. There is a very big lesson here for us today that we can't afford to take our rescue from the bondage of sin for granted. Turn, if you would please, to Romans 6. And we'll read a little about the implications of our rescue. in Romans 6, and we'll start reading from verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and being servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Israelites were saved from physical slavery and promised a physical land of their own. All they had to do was walk and obey, and God would have led them to the land he had promised them, and God would lead them to the land he had promised them. Through Christ's sacrifice, we have been rescued from the slavery of sin. But just like the ancient Israelites, we have to walk away from sin, the source of our slavery, and by following God's way, become the servants of righteousness. It is a journey that will take us a lifetime and is pictured by the Feast of Unleavened Bread that follows. But as the old saying goes, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. The night to be much observed is a vital memorial of how God rescued his people, allowing them, including us today, to take those first steps away from sin.